We'll get right at it. It's a pleasure to be here today, and I want to take this opportunity to acknowledge my co-conspirator, Dr. Dave Mengel, and the rest of the soil fertility crew at Kansas State University for working together on this project with and helping me out a ton when it came to things. I also want to acknowledge the 27 county agents in Northeast Kansas that ten of them had a pretty big part to go in this project. As an area crops and soil specialist for Kansas State University and extension specialist, one of the things that we are responsible for in our job descriptions is to help the county agents identify and implement educational programs in their county or district as we've moved into some new unit type setups on the local level. And another one is to develop our own applied research-based program to generate information locally that can be used throughout our area, throughout the state, and even in adjoining states. And as we have moved through a couple years ago, you would have said you couldn't tell whether Kurt Thompson and I were who was the oldest of the county or the area extension specialists in Kansas. Since Kurt moved into the state office, there's no doubt now, and I see my three younger colleagues are in here today. And if you want to see another good example of how we set up that applied research programming, Dr. Olson's got a great poster, 208, isn't that the number on it, Brian? Explain a quick answer to a need that has worked in well into a program. Situation is our area, my area that I service, has 27 county, individual county units. 18 of those counties are staffed by more than one agent as a general rule, but we have an individual ag and natural resources agent, which I'll either refer to as a county agent or district agent for the rest of this presentation. The remaining nine counties in the district are combined into three separate extension districts now with a district extension crops and soils agent in that county. So I've got 21 agents that I work with. Since January of 2008, there's been eight new agents out of those 21 added into that area. And since October of this year, we've just added three more. There are three more openings. Two of those, unfortunately, happen to be of those eight new ones. One left extension and one moved to another area. Thanks, Doug Shoup, for stealing one of my guys. Why did they leave? You know, get an extension program in a local area. What's the rollover? Well, you know, why do you lose them so quickly? And I've asked this since 1978 when I started as a county agent in the Northeast area, prior to Dr. Schroeder joining our staff, I might add. So he is grayer, but it's because he had to deal with people like me a lot longer, I guess. The county agent responsibilities, I pulled this directly from a county position announcement that recently went out. They're to identify the needs and the major educational opportunities in the community and provide leadership in that community to develop an agricultural program. In our case, we hope it's a crop and soils one. There's a team of area specialists in each area office except for the Northeast area where I'm at to work together to develop an ag program, because as Doug pointed out yesterday, you're not going to mesh with everybody. There's animal scientists, there's agronomists, there's economists, but there's a nice mix generally, and we can make somebody else a good agronomist if they'll take the time to do it. A variety of methods to do that. On top of that, they get to share the responsibility of the 4-H program, and they get to share the responsibility of the community development program or the community education program. And as I mentioned, nine of those counties that I deal with, nine of those units are two-agent counties, and two of those right now only have one agent in them. And those are my two newest ones. So what is the probability? Hopefully we can hang on to them. And how do you do that? Hopefully you get a program established, and it'll make it easier for them by using their local boards to go to identify the program needs. Northeast area is the area outlined in purple. Doug Shoup's Southeast area, Doug's based over here out of Chanute, is this area down here. Dr. Kent Martin, based out here in Garden City, has this area. Whoops, got you an extra county there, Kent, in this area. And Dr. Brian Olson, based out of Colby, has the northwest area of the state. In the northeast area of Kansas, this area, this western thirds approximately. That's where we grow 1.75 to 2 million acres of wheat every year. 28 inches, that's also of moisture to 32. That's where we also grow most of the 500,000 acres of sorghum that's grown in that district of the state, is in that area out there. The Flint Hills that Doug Shoup mentioned yesterday protrude up through this part of the world. A lot of major native grassland there. We also grow plant harvest, we haven't harvested yet this year, but 1.25 to 1.5 million acres of soybeans and 750,000 to 1 million acres of corn. And that's roughly in this area right in here. Most of it's dry land. There's some irrigation in the river valley, irrigation up here, and some irrigation out here. But the bulk of it's up in this area. 140 to 145 frost-free days, 175 frost-free days down at this end of the district. So a wide area. Approximately 750,000 acres of smooth brome grass are grown in Kansas, and it's predominantly in the eastern third of the state, Flint Hills and east, and the largest chunk of that is up in this area right here. About two-thirds of that is pasture land, the other thirds hay meadows, and even grass waterways for the terrace outlets. That's we hay a lot of those up there too, and they're used and grazed as well. Most farmers in this area traditionally use ammonium nitrate as their nitrogen source. We know that we can get a good response from brome grass to nitrogen. Recently, you know, the accessibility to ammonium nitrate is very difficult, is gotten leaner and leaner. We have more use of urea and dry and liquid urea products. There's just been a little bit of aversion to the urea, and a lot of that had to deal with, we're worried about urea volatilization. The guys tend to forget the correlation that really happens when it's cold, or when it's hot out and windy and wet, which it's not when brome grass is growing, and when we're not. So we get very little volatilization when we're fertilizing brome grass with urea. That perception still exists. We've had many tests from over the years. 103 is what we'd had of brome grass fertilization sites over the years. Didn't see a lick of difference between urea and ammonium nitrate. So the objective here, so we've had 103 of these studies out. Well, why do it again? Because I got a bunch of new agents up there that don't know, they don't have a program in the counties they're in. So that was my thought process, as twisted as it may be sometimes. The fertility demos can help jumpstart those young people, and it can enhance some of the others where folks are maybe stuck in a rut, they're looking to do something new. It's an opportunity to add that to their crops and soils programs. And also to demonstrate that effectiveness of the urea-based fertilizers for brome grass production. Kind of a thing I wanted to deal with is, well, let's compare the results. Let's use these site years, these sites in the county as a replication. Can we do that effectively? As kind of illustrated and documented by Gomez and Gomez. And use it in a statistical analysis. And if they're positive, what if we stretch that to some other technology verification strip type demos? Offered the opportunity to all, some accepted, some didn't want to. That's okay. Gave them the opportunity. Dr. Mingle's crew, those guys, they've worked up the fertilizer treatments. We were going to fertilize 150 square feet, had 10 treatments of those out there, and they were uniform throughout the area. The soil, of course, wasn't, but the treatments were. Anywhere from 0 to 120 pounds of 30-pound increments of nitrogen, and with or without 30 pounds of phosphate, supplied as monoammonium phosphate. We did adjust their urea level down to account for that slight amount of ammonium we were getting in with the phosphate. At bloom stage, when your eyes water and you're sneezing, that's when we're out harvesting. And it's usually hot and humid then too. 30-foot square foot was strip was mowed with a sickle bar mower. That forage was gathered, weighed in the field, took a grab sample to dried it in an oven, and determined our dry matter weights from that. The results were analyzed with the NOVA procedure of SAS, and we had results. Anyway, last year, Blocker et al. Summarized those 103 studies since 1975, and we know forage will increase as a matter of diminishing returns from nitrogen fertilization, at least with smooth brome grass. And of course, not as equally, we also have a nice return economically. And now this was based on $75 a ton brome grass hay and 50 cent nitrogen, which was about what it was when Shannon was summarizing this data, which it was not by the time of ASA last year. But regardless, normally we'd recommend 90 units of N to produce about a 3-ton yield of smooth brome grass in northeast Kansas. Most cooperators aren't going to do that because they're already down in this area of not getting very much back for what you put into it, potentially. Those guys also developed a matrix, which again, ran out of steam before we got to where the price quit going up. But nonetheless, you know, we were over here, somewhere back here on the wall by the time we got to our dollar a pound, and it was worth about, if you put 60 units in on, you were about at your max limit. We're back to $75 a ton this year, and you can see, and we're somewhere in this range where, yeah, we'd get a good response from 95 to 100 pounds of N, but they're not going to put that much out there. Klein. No, not Bob. The guy from Montana State that had that thing on the protein with the wheat yesterday. He talked about that. We can get more of a return, but nobody in their right mind is going to put that much stuff out there. So what we did in this area of the state, these are the counties that participated. A new agent in Brown County, new agent in Doniphan County, new agent in Leavenworth County. Those two guys are folks are both gone now. A district, Nemaha, Jackson, Jefferson is a district. That's the county I cut my extension teeth in, was there. Two agent counties, multi-agent counties, added Douglas this year. Wide range. Oh, too fast, Stu. What did you do? Okay. The regression curve that Blocker et al. Forced through their fertility rates, that's what they came up with. That's what it looked like when we imposed our 15 line through our 15 site replication study. Fit very nicely, leading to me to think that we did see our collaborative efforts resulted in all of those counties repeating the study, and actually they all added a fall fertilization treatment, which doubled my work and really got me no more results I didn't think this year. And a new county joined. Urea-based fertilizer worked. They've got that localized information to show now. Strip demos seem to be pretty legitimate, at least in this case, to use. If you're randomizing them within the treatments within, we can use that as a replication. And the technology verification, we've expanded that to other areas in our district. These are the demos and the strip plots that we had the last 2 years in northeast Kansas. Not just up in this area. Two longtime agents out here. Yeah, those are your rocks, and you hope that you can fill in around those as time goes on. This one is the other county that just opened up on us. But fungicide strips, they're on the same variety of wheat, the same treatment. We had 4 reps out of that this year. The young guys up here, they actually have a test farm that they inherited. Maybe that's why Nathan left. I don't know, because he got tired of riding a tractor. But again, these 4 diamonds, the jump start, those are with and without seed treatment plots, part of a statewide effort that several of the other areas, I think all of them may have plots of those. We're going to conglomerate those. 2 newest agents, 1 county or 1 agent in the county. That's down in that Flint Hills area. A lot of Sericea lespidiza. Those two now have Sericea spots. And according to my stopwatch, I've got 51 seconds left. One of the beauties, we can sort of compete with Colorado. I got close enough. I'm trying to commission a swivel mount for the side of my pickup, so when I go to work, we can fill the freezer. But that's not the soils crew, by the way. But, time for questions.
Time for one question?
Or not.
I will move on. Thank you, Dr. Dalton.